Good morning, good morning, good morning from sunny South Sacramento, California. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I'm out and about, so I'm going to be off the line, but I'll watch the phone line for those that are call in. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Going to say good morning to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and I see Double R in the car. Double R is in the car. What's going on, Marvell?
Hey, good morning, Tim. And good morning, gentlemen, our faithful supporters and contributors. And good morning to our audience. We are always pleased to attempt to serve you the best we can.
Double R?
Yes, sir. Double R in the car. I like that. Let's roll, baby. Let's roll. Hey, I want to track when we roll in this car. When we roll, man, I want that Hit 'Em Up by Rev, man. I wake up to that every day, man. It get me going. That was a nice track he redid. He changed them bad words into God's words. And, man, we're going to have to get a dose of that today, baby. If not today, tomorrow, next week. But I need everybody to hear this one. All right. I yield back.
My favorite is Commission.
I like that
you,
too.
You heard
hey.
That? Oh, yeah, man, I like got, man.
yeah.
He got good work, man. He got good work. We're gonna have to get this out as soon as we can. So we're working on it. We're gonna get this information and these messages out. In the artistic musical form, because we got good work.
Well, that's what we need, and we got to change. We got to change this music, man. And the hip hop has destroyed us. You know what I mean? So all these lyrics, you know, the gangster raps and all that, and all this about dope and everything. I mean, we got to change it. I like the way, just like what Kirk Franklin did. He took Stump. He did put that Parliament beat in there, but he praised God with it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of like that catchy dude. I like stuff like that. You feel me? I yield back.
Yeah.
Yes, and so we have Mark the Disciple on, and Uncle Johnny just joined the team. Hey, good morning, Mark the Disciple.
Hey, he pulled it his way through here. That's great, man. He wasn't going to take no for an answer.
Mark the Disciple.
Yes, sir.
Mark the Disciple.
I am present.
All right. How about you, Uncle Johnny?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Good morning, brothers.
All right.
Good morning.
Hey, so
Johnny.
I'm glad to be among you. So I'm out and about. I'm finna do an interview with Cap Radio with our youth outside here. And so I'm gonna be off the line, but I'll talk to you all in a few minutes, okay?
All right, my
okay.
brother. Keep up the good work.
All right, so gentlemen, and
yes,
and our listening audience, for those who are faithful and regular, a couple of reports. We had an interview yesterday about reparations with one of our outstanding brothers who is doing the work and making sure that this thing keeps moving. And then we're going to take it another level. We're going to initiate ourselves voluntarily. The message and get a consciousness going with our community about the reparations. So there's a flyer I picked up, about 500 of these handouts that talk about the reparations, and I distributed some to the brothers yesterday, and they're going to make them available to the people that they encounter. And then we're also going to start having committees to make sure that we're implanting the message throughout this is at least Sacramento about what this thing represents. So the flyer reads, California is considering reparations. And what you need to know about California reparations, first you need to know our state government allowed, supported, and profited from the enslavement of thousands of black African Americans.
Million.
Number two album. Say again, sir. Say again.
Yeah, millions of us. Thousands. He said,
it's right,
millions.
Right, right. But it, yeah, yeah. Maybe that's the. He told me yesterday. He said, if I see something on there that can that needs to be adjusted for the next batch, let him know, and I'm going to insert that. And thank you for pointing that out, because thousands is a minuscule. Okay, after the Civil War, our state government continued to steal the wealth and harm the well-being of descendants of people enslaved in the United States. Then, number three, in 2020, California created a state reparations task force to study and then develop proposals for reparations. So what is it the state, what is the CA State Reparation Task Force? Well, they're they're looking for monetary compensation, an entire state agency dedicated exclusively to serving the needs of descendants, and more than 100 other benefits and entitlements. So there's this barcode. They have a barcode on here, and then you have the CJEC, which stands for Committee for Just and Equitable California. I think that's what it stands for.
Yeah, and, CJEC,
yeah. So there's a barcode that allows you to access all the website and all that information. And there's a telephone number. Wait a minute. Between the ages. Oh, no. There's not a telephone number on here. So I'm going to make sure that the next batch has those addendums to it. But right now, it's a cool little handout. It's not busy. You know, it's pretty clear. It's white paper, black writing, with a couple of little pictorials on it. But it's clear enough. And for people like me who have the small print starts working me over, I get frustrated. But it's readable for me. So this is a good start for us to start representing the movement, going to raise the consciousness in the community so that we can push, the momentum going into February and onward for them to make this happen. So I'm pleased to report that. Any I'm open to the floor to any suggestions, questions, comments, or...
Yes, sir. Hey,
Hey,
man, this ain't the Breakfast Club, this the Coffee Club. And I like the way we get on here sharp at 9 o'clock. But some people just don't. So that's why I had Chris come on at 10, because the information was valuable and I wanted to... If you could, my brother, could you announce that same thing at the second hour? Because I saw roll call, not too many people, got their coffee like us and on here, bright and early. I yield back.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. I was thinking that we deserve to probably have a break and then revisit those things that are pertinent for our listening audience to either record or to look up. So yeah, that's a good idea. So the second hour, I'll return to the information on that piece there. So Tim didn't say anything about a subject matter. So I'm open up the floor for anyone who has, because we evolve anyway. So, and we feel in the dots, and we tie the knot. So whatever opens up, that ain't going to wear its end. But whoever has something that they want to open up and share, please do.
Well, yeah, this Dope Law again, man. I just want to give y'all roses, man, for this station, man. I appreciate it. Hey, man, it's like Christmas morning every time I wake up, man. I'm ready to be educated, ready to collaborate with the brothers. We sidebarring and everything. We come here, we put it on the platform, and we got to make this movement, man. I know it's a lot of solutions, but it's time for resolutions. We got to resolve all these solutions, man. And I think that we have a good crew right here. you know. So I just want to just, man, like I said again, you and Tim and Mark and y'all, man, I just love the way y'all on time. You know what I'm saying, brother? Talk about CPT. Y'all brothers, I've been on radio shows, bro. It'd be like half hour later. You know what I'm saying? But I just appreciate y'all, man. You know, and I know to hit y'all at 8:59 so I can catch that. 20 minutes to go because y'all on here sharp. I yield back.
Man, we got to make it do what it do. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, hey, brother.
Can y'all hear me?
Hey, Johnny, come on.
Yeah, I just like to give a shout out right quick, you know, because I'm on my job, you know what I mean. But I've been trying to get with you guys for a while. I really appreciate what's happening, especially what's happening here in Sacramento, man. This is the state capital. I've been in this state all my life,
yeah.
And I've lived in almost every major city, and Sacramento really got it going on. I'm home now, you know, and I'm ready to get down and put whatever effort I can into making things happen, you know. I got my little nonprofit thing, and it's getting off the ground finally, you know. But I met Chris a couple of years ago for a reparation, and, man, I was blown out. You see, I look back, and I got my granddaddy's obituary, okay? And my granddaddy was born in 1887. So then my great-grandparents were slaves, man. You know what I mean? And they come out that south, out that Louisiana. And my mama moved here in California, her and my dad, in 1948, you know? And so I know I got something coming. I'm the baby of 9 kids, man, you know? And it's time for us to do something. And I'm so glad that I'm amongst some people that's not only trying to get what is owed to us, but do something with it positive, like all these other people have been doing, you know, because we're a dynamite race. I don't care what anybody say, you know. We all know if we look back, still here and balling like we balling, everybody tries to follow this race of people, this people that were born in America but we're Africans. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that. Look, brothers, I got to go, but I'm going to be back with y'all tomorrow, man. I just want to give a shout out and let you know I'm Uncle Johnny, and I live clean. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, so on the heels of Johnny's presentation, although he is not able to totally represent himself, let me share that here's a brother that is very, very passionate when he speaks and very candid when he speaks, and as a result, he has attracted several job opportunities, working with young people, working in the drug recovery community. It's just fascinating to watch how when you live in your truth and when you speak your truth and you speak it with a passion for your people, how that creates a gravity. And that's what's happening with that brother. That's why he got a job right now. He had the job that he attracted just by being who he is and representing what he's doing, which is recovering from a lot of things. He like many of us, are experiencing the revelation of the Spirit of God in our behavior, in our thought process, and in our doings, because we turned away from a lifestyle that was self-destructive, and not only that, helping destroy what was going on in our community. Because anytime, I don't care. See, I use drugs. I never tried to sell them. I didn't have it in me to try to sell them. But I used drugs in my body. And let me just profile this. When people say using drugs, they usually automatically associated with somebody ingesting it in their body. However, if we look closer, we'll find that drug usage is not only the person who ingests it in their body, but the person who's selling it, because they use it to make money. Then you have organizations who are using drugs to formulate the organization to combat it. So full-fledged drug usage is one of the things that exists in this society right now. And so it's important to understand that when you come away, when you can pull away from that, there's only the Spirit of God that, that has the power to do that. And if you're obedient, and if you're faithful, and if you're deliberate, you can not only do well for yourself, but you can do well for others. And that's what's happening with our body here. These brothers have come from a lifestyle that was self-destructive and destructive to the community to being constructive and productive in our communities. I'm opening up the floor.
Amen, brother. I got to go. Amen. Thank you, man.
Right on, Johnny.
Right on, brother. Thank you.
Right on. But not only that, man. Got to understand that too. Our family was affected too. Shoot, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We were stealing from them or whatever. They had to bail us out of jail. Or we leaving our kids alone, our wives alone. You know what I'm saying? That drug just did a devastating move on our black community. And that's why me, as I was convicted and did my 8 months and 20 days, I vowed to say I'll never poison my people again. You feel me? So that's why I love exactly what you're saying. It's time for us to give back to our community because we stole from our community. I yield back.
Okay, so now that we're on the edge of testimony and on the edge of sharing what was and what now is, let's examine a little closer, because that's a very important piece of information about what we did to our families. Because when we talk about our immediacy, our family members, and have what we I think what I contributed to my family was sort of like a mindset of defeat, right? Because when a family member is going through, I'm going to give you an example. I got a sister. I have a sister that been in the wilderness with drug usage for 40-plus years. My mother took her two kids and took custody of them because she was incapable of raising children while she was in the grips. And she's been in the grips for all this time. And what it does to the family is it creates this mental atmosphere of defeat, because we're helpless. We're helpless. We're watching one of our appendages, one of the pieces of the family, one of the arms of the family is numb. You know, it's like it doesn't operate. So when the body is not operating properly, it affects how we go forth and how we look at our ability. Because if you know, some people can adjust to, they get a foot cut off and they can adjust. They can get a prosthetic or they can learn how to walk well, but they don't function as well, of course, unless, without having that appendage. That natural appendage. So it's sort of like that. It's sort of like when family members are caught up in these behaviors, the impact that it has on the family is sort of demeaning, and it's almost like we're stopped, we're stunted as a family. So what you talked about, Double R, is very important. The impact that we have on our immediate family, because we always talk about it on our programming, how it starts in the home. Well, that's where some of the discord started, was in the home, the pain, the anguish, the helplessness that we thrust upon our family members while we were out doing the things that we were doing, self-destructing or destroying the community by selling or making it difficult, because, you know, I remember people used to come and visit me, and I used to hate, I love to see them, but I hate what they had to go through. They had to get stripped, searched, and stand in line, and all that stuff. It's very, very demeaning. Very demeaning. So I'm glad you brought that up, not just ourselves and our community in general, but our families specifically suffered, and it's got scars that we need to heal. As a result, So I'm thinking, I'm really thinking that maybe not with the deliberacy, but again, the Spirit of God is giving us an opportunity to bring healing to the situations that we help create with our family. And I'm grateful to be able to do that. I'm grateful to be, my mama tells her friends, she says, I love what my son is doing now. She say, you know, I used to wonder about it, but now I don't wonder anymore. I am proud and pleased to see what my son is doing now. And that's a healing for her. That's a healing because, you know, moms always wants the best, no matter what. And if she's not seeing it, she keeps praying, she keeps hoping, and she keeps looking to the hills for your redemption. And when that occurs, it's healing. So that's what we're doing, brothers. We're helping to heal the things that we had an influence on or had an impact on. And we're doing it in a way that not only affects our immediate family, but affects our general community. So I commend you all and congratulations to all. I'll open up the floor.
You know, I also commend all of us because we are helpers one to another. We've all had our own individual struggles, and some of us have struggled together to try to get this ball rolling. And, you know, you see what we can do, a few of us could do together. Just imagine what many of us could do together. We get on here, a lot of us, we have disagreements. But our disagreements are aimed towards the same outcome. So it's going to take those things. And I'm just happy to see that no one has fell away. Whereas most cases, people, they're reluctant to return back to the phone line because they didn't like what somebody said. Or, you know, so we have to keep doing this because we're bringing brothers in. Brothers are coming in with their different gifts, and we all have gifts. Like you, Marvell, you're a poet. I mean, you could put words together. Now, some of them damn words we don't understand, but you put them together. It sounds good. Double R,
man.
You got a voice. Double R is he's detrimental to any group because he got a mouthpiece. That boy speaks with a loud voice. I mean, he got a big voice inside that little package. I can get a brother credit, but once he gets lit up, he lights it up. And, you know, like Tim's leadership skills are awesome because he opens doors for us, and we have to keep him lifted up because he is not the leader by himself. He pulls us all in so we can lead together. Joe is a great deal of wealth to the group. Joe is full of wisdom. He's a wise man, very wise man, and very articulate when he speaks. Rev got the gift of gab. Rev talks good, says a lot of encourageable things, and I mean a lot of encourageable things. He encourages everyone to seek God and go forth down the right path. And if I missed anybody, I'll get back to him, but Brother William Bailey. Very articulate brother, speaks well, a wealth of knowledge. And, I mean, he's got a lot of keys to a lot of doors that we wouldn't even look for. So we need each other. We really do. And Brother Youssef, a wealth of knowledge. That brother opened my eyes up to some things that I shut away because I felt that I was the only one. In all reality, I know I'm not, but when we don't hear others speak like we speak, we feel that we're the only ones. And so that lets us know we're not the only ones that's thinking the way that we think as individuals. But as us individuals come together and think together, man, they in for a world war, an ultimate one, because we're supposed to destroy this thing this man has done. We're going to get it right. And I'm going to digress on that.
You know, while you were talking, when you started describing the elements that are in our package here, you know, the word that came to my mind was foundation. We are a foundation of brothers, right? A foundation, meaning we have a vision, and I want to put this to the floor for everyone who participates regularly and who pours in. That's something that is important to recognize, is that we are the ones who are demonstrating that we have vision and moving toward it. And it's probably our responsibility to not only keep doing that, but to attract as many people to either getting the vision or trusting us enough to follow our vision. Because we are the visionary, and that's the main message that I hope that we can absorb, is that it's not likely that we can expect everybody to see what we see right now, but if we keep on powering our way forward, the momentum will attract what we need until people start seeing it. So we are the foundation. We are the visionaries, and we will attract everything we need as long as we stay consistent. And I hope that I hope that's believable.
I say, well, it is. You know, we're like the armed forces. See, you got Marines, you got the Army, you got the Navy, you have the Coast Guard, you have the National Guard, you have all these entities. But they all serve the same purpose, to protect and to serve. We, each one of us, will have certain people that will follow only us as individuals. And we, as a collective, bring all that together. You see what I'm saying? It's just like a family reunion. You know, brothers and sisters, they each have their own family, but they, when they come together, they got a big family reunion because they got all their offsprings. And so, man, like I say, man, I'm very thrilled to be a part of this. I mean, it does me a great deal of good. But as being a loner, you know, to be inside of a think tank like this, man, it's good. It's just a good feeling, man. And I encourage those that's out there listening, I encourage you to call in and speak your piece, because we need to hear from you. Because whether it's negative or positive, what we're saying, we need to hear it. So because it may help us redirect some of our thoughts. Because we know if we're wrong in an area or speaking of something, we need to know that. So we could do better, because we want everybody to be able to listen and understand what we have to say, just like we want to be able to listen and understand what you have to say. I digress.
Hey, so Marville, I'm back. I see that we have Brother Sherman and another caller in. I see Revden checked in too. And I want to know them two songs that you and Double R were talking about that Rev has, so I can get that on when I get to the house. I'm on my way there now. I want my youth to say hello to y'all. Y'all say what's up.
Hello.
What's up?
So,
hey, y'all.
I'm here with the young men from the litter and abatement team. They just got through doing an interview with Cap Radio about the cleanup in South Sacramento. And so, yeah, I'm on my way back. But I need them two songs that Rev got that y'all say y'all want to hear. Hit them up, and I think the other one was Commission. Am I correct?
Commission is one. Rev got the, Double R got his. What did he say? What yours is, Double R?
Yeah, he said it. Hit him up. Hey, and let me give a shout out to them youngsters, man. Hey, y'all are future, man. Keep doing what y'all doing. Bless y'all.
Yes, thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah. Congratulations. for having the courage to be outstanding among peers who might have something to say, but they can't say nothing when they see what you do. So thank you.
Of course. Much appreciated.
All right, man. I'm going to let y'all get back to it. I'm going to put it on mute. But, man, we doing good things with our youth, and they appreciate them comments from you brothers, and they know they the future, and they know they got to hold it down until everybody else come around. With that, we're going to pass the mic.
That point. Reverend Rev, you owe us three songs, man. You're tardy, brother. Double R, I yield back.
Morning, Brother Sherman here.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Sherman. Yeah, we can hear you.
So good morning, everyone. Giving honor to God. So over the last conversation we had together, I've been thinking. So anyway, let me start at the top. So I'm a blind person. I'm not going to skate around it. So I'm in this group called the National Federation of the Blind. And we have a pledge that is said at the beginning of some of the meetings. And so our group needs a pledge. And I believe,
okay.
I don't know what this thing is, but let's put one together.
Sherman, Brother Sherman, listen. Something happened where we didn't hear the first part of your presentation, so if you don't mind, could you start over?
Okay. So, good morning. God be with you all. So, I'm in a group called the National Federation of the Blind, and we have a pledge that we say at some meetings. So, in listening to this group yesterday and the day before, we need a pledge. And that would be so great to have it being powerfully said and thought about and put together. Second, so the National Federation of the State of California, we're having a group meeting at the Marriott on Sunrise Boulevard. And we need young people to come and be yellers for us because, you know, we're blind. What a yeller is that, let's say we're going to a computer class that, you know, and the yeller, you know, like 100 yards away, you hear the yellers yelling, computer class, Windows 25 or Windows 10 or whatever, he's yelling. And I'm walking down the hall. I can hear where the voice is coming from. So I head towards that voice, and I get to that class, and I sit there in the class and enjoy. Or the yeller on another place is yelling about an art class or a poetry class or, you know, whatever seminar class is going on, this yeller is yelling at the group to come there. Anyway, so we need maybe 10 or 15 of those.
Where's the stage then?
Huh? Okay, so this year.
Stage?
So this year, the State of California seminar for the National Federation of the Blind is going to be at Marriott's on Sunrise and Folsom Boulevard. So the Federation of the Blind has two large seminars. One's the United States seminar, and one is the state seminar. And more, man, the United States seminars, there's 50 states that people are all represented. Oh, it's so many people, man. It's like maybe 2,500 people or something like that. But the state seminars, maybe like 200 people, 280 people, something like that.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about the seminar itself. What kind of arrangements, are there any incentives or do they have a lunch or something? Because, you know, if we want to get these kids out there, we gotta get, you know, our influence might get them to consider it, but you guys, they'll come for food and they'll stay for the conversation, but we got to have something.
Well, okay, so it's like a 3 or 4 day conference. I'd have to talk to the president of the Sacramento chapter, which is called the River City chapter, to see what she would say, what she has to say. But I'm just proposing a thought to you guys. Maybe you could help us, or maybe you'd like to bring some young people out to help us, or you or yourselves to come out and help us. I don't know. I mean, I'm just proposing a thought. I had a really good time at yesterday's meeting. I yield back.
What's the date on that?
I'm not sure, but it's in like March something.
Okay,
like March 10th,
so do me a favor.
Like
do me a favor. Could you gather as much information as you can and share with Tim?
Yes,
and then
sir.
We'll see what we can pull together with our youth force to be a part of that. But again, I say, have the conversation with your president to find out what kind of, you know, if there's any incentive whatsoever. Because if we just got to go with our influence to get him to go, we have to double and triple down on that if there's nothing else for them to look forward to except, you know, being of service and being under our umbrella. But if they have some things that are enticing to these young people, it'll be easier for us to recruit them.
Okay. So I have another question.
Okay.
So tonight there's a group meeting for the men. I would like to come, but like I was saying, I don't see well, and if I come, I have to prearrange the getting there and the getting home.
Okay, so when you say prearrange, what do you mean by that? Do you have a pickup service for you?
No, I have to ride.
Oh, you would need to be picked up.
No, I would like to be, but no. I ride lightwear and walk everywhere I go.
No, you don't have to do that. Where you live at?
I ain't gonna tell you that. I live out by.
Okay. What area do you live in?
I live by the bus, by the light rail on Arcade Boulevard. At the Arcade Boulevard? The light rail, that's where I, in that area.
Okay, light rail. Arcade.
Yeah. So I would come Thorn Road. Then what?
Okay, so I tell you what. If you want to get there next week, we'll if you take the light rail and get off at let's say 47th Street or something like that. We can accommodate you from there since that's something you're capable of doing. So we can tie all those loose ends up, because if you want to be a part of what we're doing, we're going to do what we can to assist you.
I want to come tonight.
Tonight is wait a minute. We have a meeting tonight, but it's not the healing circle. Is that what you're talking about?
No, well, yesterday we were talking about a men's group that was tonight.
No, the men's group is
yesterday.
Is that
yesterday, tomorrow night?
Wednesday. No. The men's group is Wednesday. The healing circle is Wednesday.
Okay.
Just explain to him what group we're having tonight.
Yeah, somebody explain that to me. Do you know, Mark? Because
we have tonight is Thursday night. So don't we have the MAP meeting tonight, or is it Dr. Flo?
I think that's what it is. It's the campaign meeting tonight, as well as a planning meeting for some other ventures that we're trying to launch on the midterm or
right.
the long term.
But right.
But right now, yeah, it's the Dr. Flo meeting as a rule, right?
Right.
And Madhu calls it. He calls it the conglomerate. That's
right.
William Bailey.
He's
named it
the
nonprofit conglomerate. Right.
Right. And then the Men's Accountable Project is when tonight.
Well, we haven't firmed that up because I haven't gotten confirmation from from the selections that I made, whether or not they're even going to be hands-on, right? That's been a kind of a challenge, you know. I send them the information, and then I don't get a confirmation of the receipt, nor do I get a yay or a nay whether or not it's something that's approved, right? So maybe we can have that conversation. I don't want to go, you know, too beyond what the willingness is, right? I don't want to project beyond the willingness. I'm submitting the proposal to. They don't get back with me, I select somebody else, right?
Right.
So that's been sort of like a challenge. I know, Mark, you in. I know a couple of people that are in. We could get together and we could start structuring. You know, they don't have to have a full-fledged meeting. We can just start structuring our format, and then we'll attract those who are willing to help implement. But I'm a little confused by how I'm not getting the responses back from the submissions that I've made. So the men accountable is still is developing now, still.
Right. Well, you see where our discussion went last night in the healing circle. And, you know, we've been trying to curve away from that, but it still comes up. So we do need a place where we can direct that type of business to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because,
I agree.
Right. Because I don't want to make it seem like because in the meeting last night, Brother Joe was on one. And you know, we try to keep certain entities separate. You understand what I'm saying there? Because he was talking about BBOA and this and that, and so we want to, you know, try to keep that one there separate from everything else.
Yeah, it was a fine line,
we bring it together.
Yeah, it was a fine line, but I see the relativity because I see the relativity. It was just on the heels of what was proposed about what the healing circle was designed to be. That it made it a little challenging to do the bridging, but it's all very relative because you even said it is that our healing is reflected in our participation in making things greater around us. That's part of our healing as well, right?
Right.
It's like what we started talking about just now.
What I'm saying is, you know, because Brother Sherman, he wants to be included. Brother Sherman got a lot to say. I like the way the brother speaks. Man speaks with a soft voice. He's got a lot in there that needs to come out. And we have to build something where he'll be able to speak and have room to speak, and others in his position can come forth and speak.
Hey, so just now getting back on, and I'm listening at you all, and well, I appreciate the conversation that's going on, but we're going to get on a topic get moving because we know that we have a lot of areas to cover, and it's only a few soldiers that are on the battlefield trying to cover these areas. And so you're going to have where different settings or different groups of people are going to have to conjoin and combine and consolidate into one somewhere down the line. You might not do it all the time, but because the need is so necessary that we're going to have to cross lines and boundaries to get this work done, because it's not a clear-cut case on what we are really attacking, because there's so much of it, right? We can say we want to help the youth, but how can we help the youth when we don't help the whole family, right? Because if we help the youth and we send them back home and we ain't help that what's at home, then we got to start all over with the youth. So it's going to be a lot of times where we're going to have to join forces. And I understood what Kareem was saying about the men's healing circle, because a lot of brothers are still hurt. And how can you help someone when you hurting, right? And so we're going to leave that for them sessions. Right now we're on the radio and we're talking about what say the people. It's an open discussion today. What say the people about how America is being ran right now? What say the people about how Trump is bullying his way to the White House? What say the people about the disparities that we see in our neighborhood, such as a man while we was out cleaning with the youngster pulled his clothes down and used the bathroom in broad daylight right there on the street. He had a mental breakdown, and there's no one there to help him, so he just used the bathroom right there in broad daylight, right there in the parking lot, right? And so what say the people about the problems that we have? What say the people, huh?
I see it's a setup. I've noticed those things myself. And those that prescribe these different medications, that a lot of them are on, because all of them are not on street drugs. They let them out to wreak havoc. Because like I said, when I worked at Walmart, we would call the authorities, and they'll come get them, and they'll be right back within 30 minutes. And I've had people say, oh, I'll be back. They only take them down the street somewhere and let them out. It's sad that we have to, our kids have to see things like this. Women folk have to see things like this. I was driving down the street. A man stopped right, was crossing the street, stopped in the middle of the road, and pulled his pig out and urinated right there on the yellow line. You know, so it's that the authorities are not doing enough. The system is not doing enough to help these people. They're not giving them a place where they can give them the proper care that they need instead of letting them out here on the streets. Looking dirty, out here panhandling and stuff. They, like I say, they allow this. And it's set up to do just what it does, to piss us off, cause us to do something where we'll end up being locked up for it, and they'll let them back out there to recruit somebody else to do some damage. I digress.
And so I see Rev is on here. Rev, I'm going to need you to send me the song Hit 'Em Up, and I'm gonna need you to send me the song Commission, Rev.
But I sent it to you.
I
sent it to you too. I sent you Hit 'Em Up this morning too.
You sent it to me, one go?
Oh no, I sent it to Marvell.
Okay, yeah, no, this one gone. This one gone. And so, Rev, if you can just send them to me, if you thought you sent it to me, you send them, resend them? Them two songs, please.
Well, I just gave them a CD.
Oh, okay. That's how they got it. That's why I don't got it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I should have gave you one last night. Because I don't have too much of those that are in my email. You know, I don't even remember the title of the song. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what we'll do... Okay, so what we'll do, you have background. I'm going to have to turn you off. You got a little background. But listen, what we're going to do is I'll get it from Marvell and download it into the computer and be able to play it, because I wanted to play your songs that they requested, and that's what we do on this show. We show brotherly love, and that's what we're about. Without further ado, I want to check the line and see who's on the line right now, because we have some people on here. Who is this from the 650? 650 area code.
Here I come. Hold on. How you doing, man? This is Manny Smith, the governor. I enjoyed y'all yesterday. I'm here by invite of Double R and also my brother Mark the Disciple. And I'm just listening in today. I'm doing some work while I listen in. And, you know, if you need me to comment, though, I can.
We appreciate you, brother. Yes, sir. And so I just wanted to...
Hey, Manny, good with that music, too. Manny good with the music too. That brother's a preacher, but he talk about reparations and rap. His rap is positive. That's why I wanted him and Rev to get together, man, and that'd be powerful right there. I yield back.
And so I need Manny to send me some music to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com so I can play him on here. And he said it's clean, I'm gonna play it on 97.5. as well on the Hip Hop After Dark. And so we will get that together. What I'm doing is playing our people's music, spread the love, and making sure that, you know, they know that we are representing with them on their movement. And so, Marvell, I'm trying to figure out what say the people, man. You know, you was talking about how the youngsters.
1 second, brother. Am I on? Excuse me 1 second to interrupt you, brother. Just to let you know, you can find, a core of songs of mine at my website, thethreefishsrepublic.com. That's thethreefishsrepublic.com. Threefishsrepublic.com. And you hit the links at the top, the hieroglyphs, the chains, America, the broken chains, a lynching, and you'll get all that. The music is at the end. It's the broken chain. And so, but yeah, you can find it, and you can find it yourself there, but I'll send you some things myself. But yeah, you can go listen to a number of things there, and you can see exactly what I stand for and what I'm about.
Sounds good. I appreciate that, brother.
I'll be back. Thank you.
Yes. And so, Marvell, you were in a classroom with young men yesterday, and if I could get everybody to mute their phone right quick, because we got a lot of coughing, spitting, and all that. Just mute your phone one time. Mute your phone. All right. There we go. Matter of fact, don't worry. I got you. I'm muted. Okay, so here we go. You were in a classroom yesterday with about 10 to 15 young men. You were in there to give them the best of you, so they can know that there's someone that cares for them. There's someone that want to speak into their lives. There's someone that want to walk with them in the struggles that they may see day to day. But when you got in there, you ran across some negative vibes. You ran across some disrespectful moves. You ran across our young folks. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Well, I've always noticed, or lately I've noticed, that there's a lack of emotional and spiritual connection with our young people nowadays. Their instincts are not acute. They don't have the awareness of who they're around or what they're around. They have no filters anymore, it seems. And it seems like now, I mean, that experience that I had yesterday, I'm going to do it like this. I did it with the young people of my third, fourth, and fifth grade class. I told these guys are sixth, seventh, eighth grade class, and I told them about my three, four, and fifth grade class, what they shared with me, and they called me a lie. They said, "Oh, them little kids didn't say that." And I told them, I said, "Look, I brought it to the floor, and this is what they said about their siblings, their older siblings. One child said that she observed that her older sister and two brothers were hypnotized by their games and phones. Another kid said they're addicted." That's what the third grader said about their older siblings, that they were addicted. And when they said that and I shared that, they called me a liar. But I told them again, I said, you know, the third, fourth, and fifth graders didn't conduct themselves like y'all. They get a little loud, they get a little raucous, and you have to calm them down, but you guys don't even have the presence of mind to gather yourself and recognize cause are what the principles are. The principles are one mic, or I'm asking you to leave. So I asked some, I asked a couple of them to leave, and they didn't want to leave. But at the same time, the consciousness, because see, we were talking about earlier about the impact that our lack of leadership or our lack of presence may have had or likely had with our family situation. So that's why I have patience with it, because I'm recognizing that there's something that they don't have that I and others like me could have probably provided in a timely manner, but we were not there. State of what we're experiencing now is I don't want to keep shaking my head saying tisk, 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 what the heck's wrong with them. I want to say whatever's wrong with them, I want to keep on pushing forth to find out how I can urge them to heal themselves, how I can urge them to do better thinking. So at the end of the forum, it ended up being they start looking at themselves a little closer, because I told them, I said, I used the feeling words like I told them, I said, man, but I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed with your behavior. You know, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me that you guys are acting like they was acting like little girls. I got to be honest with you. They was giggling and laughing and playing and chasing each other around in the room and all that. It was like I thought I was gonna hear the music. Boo 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 boo. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone, man, with these young men. But it just tells me the broad scope of where we are and how we've become anesthetized or just kind of acceptive of behaviors. Like we were talking about walking down the street and seeing someone homeless or unhoused, see an unhoused person demonstrating those kind of behaviors, and it gets to be where, because you're not able to impact it, you accept it. And so that's what Mark was saying, is that it is thrust upon us to accept, because we don't seem to have an idea what it is that we can do. So the thing that's natural is to accept what is until further notice. And that's what I think is happening on a broad stroke. They are barraging us like Donald Trump hits you with so many nonsensical, dumb things that you can't keep a track of them. And so if you can't put the finger on one, you got to have to accept them all. And that's his strategy, and that seems to be a general strategy being employed in this country. He just hits you with a whole bunch of stuff that you get your head gets full, and you don't see any way to deal with it. And you don't know how to prioritize what to deal with. Like Tim said earlier, we have so many things. We're struggling to prioritize what to do first. And because of that, it seems as though it's easier just to accept it, because the helplessness leaves no other choice. That's my perspective on the social scale, on the local scale, and on the broad scale. Keep hitting us with so many things that it's difficult to keep them in chronology or to put them in priority. And then when we do, we don't have the force to really impact it. So it's like accepted, like marijuana. Accepted. Walking down the street, I got to smell it because somebody else smoking it. So that's my perspective. It's just we're in this place where us brothers like us are calling to order and bringing attention to the different diversions that are being used to keep us once again confused and divided. And I'm gonna yield for comments and response.
And so just going to comment on what you were saying with the young folks. The third, fourth, and fifth graders said that the older kids in their homes are stuck on them phones and them games and that they're hypnotized and in a trance for them. I can speak to that because we had a young man that got released from juvenile hall, and me and Brother Marvell went to visit this young man and talk to him. And his grandmother said, as soon as we came in, she said, well, he's not supposed to have the phone. The judge put it in his orders, in the minute order, for him not to have a phone or he's going to be locked up. And so when we got there, the young man had the phone. I said, hey, man, give your grandmother the phone. Nah, man, I'm not going to give it to her. And so Marvell said, well, wait. You mean to tell me that you know that the judge got an order for you not to have a phone and you'd rather go lock up than to give your grandmother the phone? Because if you go lock up, they still go have the phone. Now, make that make sense to me. And so he sat there and he looked at the wall. He looked at his phone. He looked at me. He looked at Marvell. He looked at his phone. He looked at the wall. And he said, I'm not going to give it up. They're going to have to take me to jail. That's the kind of thinking our kids have with these technologies, with them games. Hey, man, them kids be so focused into them games to where you can call their name, man, and they really don't hear. You could be right beside them because I do it to my son, and I tell him, I say, man, if I got to call your name one more time, I ain't going to take the game. Oh, I ain't going to take it because I ain't taking something and giving it back. I ain't going to take the game, but what you're going to do is you're going to miss out on a few things that I know you like, and it's going to happen soon. And so he looked because he know he liked to go out and eat and do all this and buy shoes and all that. See, I hit him where it hurt. I ain't going to take that game because that game I'm going to end up giving back. See, when I take something, I'm taking it. I don't want to give it back. And so we have to really pay attention to our young folks, man, and their thought process. And we have to really sit them down. And I know a lot of them don't want to hear from us because they've been let down. But that doesn't stop us from pushing forward to get in their ear to give them something they can hold on to. So, Marvell, I apologize for the mute, mishandling the situation yesterday because they know better. That's the cold thing. They know better and they should do better. Because my thing is when I call in, the first thing I'm going to say, do y'all know about the 10 push-ups? And that straightened half of them out right then and there because they can't do 10 push-ups and they're on the basketball team. And they can't do 10 okay. push-ups.
It was funny.
Yeah, and so it's a lot that we have right in front of us, right? There's a lot that's in front of us. And last night I left early from the meeting without saying that we are going out on this Saturday. I went and hung out just a minute ago with the youth doing this interview. So I might not be out there long because I'm still in pain, but I'm coming out because I want y'all to see that this is needed, right? And I just got off with Lord Tony, right? I just talked to Lord Tony. That's why I wasn't on earlier. We talked for a minute, and we were talking about how we can't just jump in everybody's stuff when we ain't got our stuff together. We can't do that. We can't do that, and I don't expect you to do that. But a lot of people want to be in all these circles, but you ain't doing nothing in no circle but talking. You're not doing nothing in no circle, man. I just was talking to my big brother. You know, he called me this morning. He wanted to tell me what was said and what went on, and I'm listening. But he broke it down to me. He said, man, I have to tell these brothers, man, we can't be jumping into the Mardi Gras. We can't be jumping into this. I'm listening. I'm saying, there it is right there, big brother. That's what I told you. I know we go back way back. But there's certain things that I'm doing that I have to do in order to get to where we're going to get to. Other than that, you're going to be up under somebody for a long time. And I've been up under somebody a long time. And so we have to, as men, find out what we're going to do, be true to what we're going to do, and get up in there. And don't just be hanging in the background. Get to the front of it. Get to the front of it. And I'm guaranteed the work will be done because there's plenty of work out here. With that, I'm going to pass the mic. Oh, I see Brother Jordan stepped in. I see Miss Clariston stepped in. And Rev is in the building. So I'm going to turn y'all's mics on right quick. Please mute your phone if you could. Please mute your phone before I let y'all in. Boom, because I'm just getting in. All right, everybody's on. Marvell, I'm gonna open up Brother Sherman, but Brother Sherman got a lot of background distraction up in his, and I don't think he know how to put that mute on. So I don't know if I need to open it up,
Brother Tim, Sherman.
Brother Tim. Yes, sir.
Brother, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello? Okay.
Yep.
If I can, I just came in and caught the tail end of what Brother Marvell was talking about. If the tenor of his statement is leadership, because it doesn't seem like there's none there, then you take the leaders that you have, however small, however slight, and you begin to make step after step after step. Now, what is the first step? What is the first step? The first step is recognition. Recognition of a problem. And the next step, step 1A, would be how to solve that problem. Everybody knows that. That should be basic. But let us do this. Instead of looking for a leader, trying to find a leader in the haystack, we've got leaders in our own midst. Let's put them forward. Let's put them forward. And I'll back up and wait.
Okay, well, you didn't hear the part. I don't know if you heard the part about on the local scale, there's this disconnect, and the disconnect plus the many things that we are grappling with, attempting to address, can potentially overwhelm or make it difficult to prioritize what to address first. Tim mentioned that earlier, and I agree that, you know, so when something comes up and you feel like it has a potential to participate in, to make something happen, if you jump in without whatever you have already founded not completely in order to go forth, then this becomes scattered. Like I could even say that, because Tim was giving me a brochure of things that I'm involved in, and I said, "Dag, you're right. That's a whole bunch, a whole bunch of committees and a whole bunch of groups and a whole bunch of organizations that I'm involved in, and I may have to do some cutting the fat, right? Because I don't want to get overwhelmed, or I don't want to stretch myself too thin." Now, one of the things that I wanted to share with the situation with the youth is that we're in a catch-22 in regard to our ability to lead, because I've noticed that with the young people, if you don't have the influence to get them to comply, then you can only have a power structure. You can threaten them with stuff, and they resent the threat. And that's the catch-22. They resent you being able to take something away from them to get them to do what you want them to do. So, for instance, yesterday, I just went along with them. I said, man, y'all having a good time today. Y'all having a ball. I said, I feel like you're not going to unnerve me to the point to where I lose my composure. I'm just looking at y'all and I'm saying, y'all having the ball today, and I hope you'll do it today and get it all out today, because next week, if I come back and the same thing exists, there's a good likelihood that we're not going to be getting together anymore. And I don't know what that means to you, but I know what it means to the school, because it makes the school look bad, because you got a bunch of youth that won't comply with an after-school program designed to bring something to them to help enrich them and help them to look forward, become young men. You don't, if you do that, then most of them on the basketball team. And when I went through to check out, man, he said, "Hey, how did it go with the boys today?" And I said, "Boys? They was acting like a bunch of girls." And he said, "What happened?" So I started saying, and they kept running up, talking about, "Oh, wasn't it me? Wasn't me?" And I said, "Man, get out of here! What you mean it wasn't you? You was the, like, I ain't covering for you. You was number one, number two, this number three." And y'all went on down the line. Everybody participated in the giggle fest, right? So the challenge for me was that, okay, he's threatening them. If you do that again next week, you ain't gonna play. And that didn't make me feel good, because that's not influence, that's power. And I guess you have to fuse the two. Even in when we deal with our local situations, sometimes we have to use a power structure to get people to comply to what's sound principally and what makes sense for our society. It's just that leadership, to me, is an influence rather than a power. And that's part of my struggle. And when I look at situations, is that I don't want to be threatening somebody to do something in order to get them to see that it's in their best interest in the first place. And so that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to share with what Tim was talking about with the youth situation, is that that's a struggle for me. I don't want to be the power structure that threatens them. I want to be the influence that encourages them, or in how they aspire. Because I tell you now, and I'm going to stop. All they kept saying was, I had this outfit on, right? And it was a well-coordinated little outfit, black and white. And they kept saying, you dripping. And I said, "What you mean by that?" "Well, you dripping, you brick." I said, "What that mean?" They said, "Man, you look good, you sharp." I said, "Oh, okay, I'm dripping and I'm brick." I said, "But not enough to get respect from you, right? Am I dripping enough to get your respect?" But that's it's all cosmetic to them. And that's kind of like overall what I'm saying with our society generally, is that the cosmetology makes it look either, or it makes it stimulating. It looks good and I want to keep looking at it, or it's hopeless and I don't want to look at it no more. Now yield.
Well, this double, I think you said the key word, man, was respect at the end of the day. That's what these young kids have to be taught. A lot of them are spoiled. A lot of them don't have that, first of all, respect for authority. You know what I'm saying? So we have to take this time and have the patience for them just to break that little word to them. You know what I'm saying? Because if they don't respect themselves, they don't respect nobody else. You know, and before I land this plane, Brother Marvell, could you go over the initial introduction that we have, because it's the second time of the hour. A lot of brothers just tuned in. I yield back.
Right on. I agree. So yesterday I met with Chris Lodgson. He's a spearhead in the movement for reparations starting in California. And he gave me some handouts that are, for exception of a few addendums. And he said to me, if I see something on there for the next batch, if I want to suggest that they address, he said he will address it. But this is a California reparations facts. And one of them is, what do you need involved reparations? And it says, number one, our state government allowed, supported, and profited from the enslavement of, they say thousands, but we're going to say millions of black African Americans. Number two, after the Civil War, our state government continued to steal the wealth and harm the well-being and the descendants of people enslaved in the United States. Number three, in 2020, California created a state reparations task force to study and then develop proposals for reparations. So So it goes on to talk about what it is. It's a monetary compensation, and it, is, it said there's 100 other areas. One of them suggested is that we don't have to pay taxes anymore. So the information, how to pull up the information, you go to the CEJC official org, CJEC-official.org. Just put up CJEC. Just remember that, and it'll guide you, because when this people start talking about the dash and underscore and all that stuff, for me, if I don't write it down, it's gone for me. But CJEC, you look that up, and then it'll direct you toward all the information that you need to survey and make a decision about whether or not you want to believe it, whether or not you want to participate in it, or some people are going to just say, yeah, well, I hope it do. I ain't going to do nothing because I'm going to benefit from it anyway, so I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to wait till y'all do the work, and then I'll just get mine at the end. So these are the options available. Get knowledgeable, participate in the momentum of it, or sit around and wait for everybody to do the work, and then you benefit just by proxy. That's reparations.
And can I add to that? He spoke a lot yesterday, too, on lineage. You have to know your DNA, and you have to be a child of enslaved person as far as back in 1619. Anybody who came, that was from your family for reparations. I yield back. And remember, CJEC, that's the CJEC, C-J-E-C. That's what Chris, that's who he represents. I yield back, and I'm going to mute my mic.
Okay, so, yeah, let me add to that. I took notes on the qualification. Qualifications say that if you're a descendant of slavery before 1850 and that genealogy, they formed a committee that does the genealogy. Once we're in full motion, and pushing toward making the what will be awarded, then that committee will do it. And I understand it is at no cost. Do your genealogy chart to determine your eligibility. He also said that there are 2.5 million blacks in California. He said, and 2 million of them are likely to be awarded because of their heritage. So, yeah, the qualifications are as such. The descendant of slaves from 1850, prior to 1850, you'll have the opportunity to have your chart screened, and then have places, there's going to have places where you can get that done, and then approximately 2 million of us, and you have to be, you know, here's another precursor. You have to, if you lived in California for at least 6 months, that's another predetermination. If you lived here for at least 6 months, then you're eligible to be screened to determine your genealogy and your eligibility, and 2 million of us are deemed to be eligible by their estimation. Any
okay,
more,
can
any more,
you
more?
Hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to let everybody know that BBOA is in process at this moment in organizing an event where we can actually disseminate this information to a crowd. We are about to start going through all of the barbershops in the area and through Lord Tony, who is making the contact. So we're in the process of helping get this information out now. So I just would implore everybody here that's listening to be aware of the fact that there is, we're about to start doing something about it. And the first thing is communication. The 2 million
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely, that's good.
Communication. So that, again, we'd like for individuals who are capable to be with us, just as one gone has said about the other activity, that the Men's Healing Circle is about to start when it's not raining. So I just wanted to bring everybody abreast that this information that you just specified, Brother Marvell, we can start taking at to the barbershops in the area, which will then start to, by word of mouth, then start to get the word out a little bit quicker.
Okay.
And can
so
I add
still
to,
have,
can we
I
say
have...
you add the salons? Salons as well, because we need these women to know as well, because I have a salon and a barbershop. And two, Marvell, what you said about the 6 months, let me just dissect that a little bit. It has to be prior to when the bill was passed, AB 3121, and 2021. That's when the 6 months has to be applied, not after 2021 when they did it with Governor Newsom. I yield back. I'll meet my mind.
Good. Very good. I appreciate that.
Brother Marvell?
Yeah.
Brother Marvell, I'd like to add to what Rev just got you saying. Now, once this is done with VBOA, the information that you have has to be thoroughly understood, because there are going to be questions. When you go into these barbershops, there's going to be customers, black folk, and they're going to ask questions. So we need to be knowledgeable.
Okay.
Rev,
so what we can do.
That was
double R.
I'm sorry.
That was double R, Joe.
Yes.
Okay.
The
okay. So
I got you.
So what I think is important to do is to get have a script for everyone who's responsible for distribution, and especially a captive audience like a barbershop. You know, you be knowledgeable and be factual, but matter of fact about it, and share that information in that form that makes it so that it'll be easy to repeat, right? So I think it's
yes.
Just pull out some of the bullet point highlights, and any questions that you're not able to field, then we can just have them scan the barcode and for their perusal then or later, or we can just have somebody call them. Let me call such and such and find out, kind of thing, right? So I think that's absolutely strategic for us to have everyone who's doling out the information to be knowledgeable about those particulars. That's an excellent suggestion.
I also like to add to that, and that is that, you know, Brother Mark talks about it just about every time he speaks, and I agree. We all agree with him. However, realistically, when you begin to talk about a man's pocket, you get his attention real quick. And he stays, I don't mean a complete meal of economics, but economics that apply at the present moment. A man will pay more attention to that type of class or education than he would anything else because of the distractions. But when you gear your program or language that has me think about how I'm going to feed myself, I'm paying attention. Even if I am homeless, I am paying attention. How can I get a few of the dollars to actually go and get me a can of beer and a sausage? How do I do that? That starts to change the thinking of the individual. And I'll yield at this moment because we did that in San Francisco.
Right on. Yeah. So in regard to the reparations issue, anyone else have anything they want to suggest or pour into so that we can get a momentum started raising the consciousness?
Okay.
Yeah, this Double R. I think that's a great idea to hit these black beauty shops and barber shops, because when I used to go down to the Sacramento meetings, I always went to Fixin's, KJ's restaurant, and I was right next door was a barber shop. I was in there. I thought I just said, "Hey, what's up to the brothers?" And I opened up to have my shirt on by reparations, and man, I think I spent an hour in there. A lot of people don't know, and these shops are the places that we do conjugate, and would be great information. I yield back. I need
my money. Let's get to the hubs. Let's not do a blanket distribution and you know, giving people paper to litter with, right? Let's hit those hubs where we can talk about it, give them a briefing, and stimulate them to get the vision, right? Because preceding the belief usually is the vision, right? So if we give people painting pictures in their mind about what not only they deserve and earn, but what is likely to come forth with their participation and their working knowledge of it. Because a lot of times, you know, the momentum is in the table, you know, the kitchen table conversation. If it becomes a kitchen table conversation where everybody in the family is at least aware of it, then that permeates the society, and that creates the momentum that makes it so that there's no alternative but to award it, and just how much is the question now, right? But right now, the award is not even a firm decision, because I would dare to say, because people can take it or leave it because they don't believe it. It's important to get to the belief for no other reason, because somebody asked me, Tim asked me yesterday, do I believe in it? And the truth is, yeah, I believe that it is deserved and earned, and therefore I believe that it's going to be awarded.
I agree with you 100%, and I feel that the distribution of literature, whatever we're going to do, it needs to be at least three or more, because people are less apt to believe one man, but when they see other men behind him, they say, oh, they got something going here. It's not just him trying to start something. This is already started. You see what I'm saying? Like when Tim said, we go to the Capitol and speak. As many of us that can get out there, it helps. Because not only does it help them see that we mean business, it helps that man out there that's speaking, well, I'm not alone in this. I got people that stands with me. So we got to stand together and do whatever. I digress.
Let me back up and say this, and I was just thinking about what everybody's been saying. And Brother Marvell, Brother Mark, Reb, R&R, look here. We have marching orders at this very moment. Let's formalize teams of two, if that's all it is, and let's go. Lord Tony is trying to set up however many salons and barbershops at this moment. The barbershop that you just mentioned was the first barbershop that I went to when I first got to Sacramento. And not knowing anybody, right next to the restaurant that you, Kevin Johnson's restaurant, stayed in there for a while trying to learn a little bit more about it. So again, we have marching orders. Let's formalize our teams and let's get at these locations. What are we waiting for? We know what it is. We know what we need to do. Let's march. Thank you.
Okay, so I have about another.
Yeah.
I have about another maybe 375 of those handouts. So you guys, you know, if you want to get a handful of them, give me a call. Or if you want to try to structure a blitz or a team approach to the salons or hubs like that, let me know so I can get you the paperwork, the hard copy. Because I agree, that's a good, excellent place to start. I'm glad that Double R gets the concept. But where are you, Double R? Where are you located?
I'm about an hour away from L.A. I'm in Riverside County. Yeah, about an hour away from L.A.
Okay, so gosh, let me. Okay, well, you can check with Chris to see if there's a distribution of those handouts. And matter of fact, you might probably be good to wait till the next batch when we make the suggestions for the adjustments on it, right? But we'll have to find out.
Yeah, I got connection with Chad Brown and Friday Jones. They're in L.A. So anything I need to do, I can just bounce there and get it from them. Yeah, got you, brother.
Okay. Right on. Yeah. Let's get this distribution thing going. Let's be strategic about it. Because as I said, I don't want to just be walking down the street handing people stuff without any dialogue. So we have a captive audience in that area, and it's well known, it's renowned for being a place where discussions are held, right? So that's, I think that'd be a good idea for us to capitalize on those hubs and be able to talk about it. So again, let's just script out the general working knowledge. We'll make it so that we know what we're talking about. We don't know everything about it, but we know enough about it to be able to represent it.
Right. All right. And you can always get with Chris, because Chris, they have that headquarters, and they just purchased, I think, within about a couple of years, a CJEC. Their headquarters, and I forgot what street, man. I've been there every time I come. But that's their headquarters, and you got soldiers in there. You need to gather them with you so they can be able to come up. When you guys speak in these salons and barbershops, they can answer every single question, just like Chris. I yield back.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Wait a minute.
I'll check with him to find out the details. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now that we have some sort of a plan, which seems to be formalizing, when do we meet prior to any movement on this issue alone? I think that would be the most important meeting that we will have for this coming in this year. What do we start off with? And we start off with reparations, again, forming teams at this meeting. In other words, putting our act in such an order that failure is not an option. So, Brother Marvell, I asked the audience, when would you want to actually sit face-to-face, knock out the nuts and bolts of this issue, and step off? I yield.
Okay, so it occurs to me that we're going to Delta Shores Saturday. I think that was something that we've sort of like mapped out and designated that as being a active location that we're going to be current and present. We're going to be show our faces there. So maybe. We could have a short meeting prior to or even after that to get a solid base of commitments from individuals that are participating there, and then we can span out from there, because now it's getting to the point where we try to have meetings at designated places, and then quite frankly, I've been running into people not showing up, and then no call, no show. That irks me to the highest degree, and I don't want to risk that for something as important as this. So we'll have a body of brothers there Saturday, and when that occurs, it might be a good idea to use that as a launching point for something like this. Do you agree with that, or you have another notion?
No, that's fine with me. My urgency in my voice is let's get started. We've been talking. We have knowledge. All of every man on this line has experience in this life, in this society. Let's move.
Right on, Joe. I got you. So
if I could chime in for a minute. If I could chime in for a minute. Brother earlier was speaking about we're a foundation of brothers. And I believe that, it got to the question of Mark was saying we need four leaders or, you know, we need more than one leader. But it comes to my attention that maybe what we really need is a corporation so that no matter what happens to any of us, the corporation will live on through its mission statement, through its collecting of fees and dues and putting that stuff out into the community so that the corporation will be here for 1,000 years if we run it right. And it will be ran based on the mission statement that we all came up with in the beginning. So it won't be changed or manufactured into something that it never was in the beginning. I yield back.
I like that. I say.
Who was that?
That's Manny. Manny Smith.
That's Manny. Governor Manny. That's Manny.
Okay, Manny. All right. I kind of thought so, but I want to be sure. I think we're not beyond the suggestion that was made by the brother about a pledge. A pledge is an affirmation. Prior to us incorporating, I think we should embody and embed a pledge of commitment and of like vision. So that's in the short term. So if anybody wants to structure one and bring it to tomorrow, I'll attempt to structure one, and we can compare notes and find out something that's germane to what we're doing. And I ain't talking about no long pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and all that. I'm just talking about something that's a brief but concise affirmation,
yes,
of who we are and what we represent and where we plan to go. I think that's a good idea. Operation is a good idea, but I'm gonna require someone to brief me more about how that goes. And I'm for it. I'm just not gonna head it up because I don't know about it.
I'd also like to incorporate or urge Sister Clarice to speak on this because we would like to have some women out here too.
Clarice,
speak on because we would like to have women with us.
I would like to know because I know on my mother's side, I know back to the 1800s. I know my great-great-great-grandmother was a slave. The grandfather was Freeman. I know the county, Newton County, was the white name, but I know the family history. When did we start the eligibility process? That's one of the things I wanted to know. And you mentioned that the group that's going to be doing it, they would do it for free. I want to get my DNA. I had a kit someone bought me for Christmas. I'm going to get that done because I don't know my father's history, all of it. His parents died when he was 13, caught a freight train, came to California, met this man in a park. He was sleeping in a park, met this man, eventually met this man's sister, who was my mother, and he never talked about his family. I did do some ancestry and found out he had a brother that was out here. And one year he went to in Fresno, went to a high school. I got all this information through Ancestor, but now I want to pull it all together. But again, what is the timeline as far as individual eligibility? Do you have any kind of idea when that process is going to start?
Individual's eligibility. Oh, you mean the genealogy part?
Genealogy, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So we can get more details. He gave a general. And the general was that's part of the one of the bills that they're attempting to push forth, that I think he said it's 490.
Correct.
Eligibility.
Correct.
490 will sanction the committees for eligibility and at no cost. That's what I understand it to mean.
Okay.
That bill is still pending as we speak. Even though it's projected that it's going to be awarded, it is not in place right now, even though people are doing it on their own, right?
Okay.
I don't know if it's a cost, if they found a way to avoid costs or if they're incurring costs, but people are doing it on their own, and I commend those people because that means that they believe. We need to get believers involved.
Your mind's already
ready.
I'm already ready. I got my little nappy hair, a patch of nappy hair to prove it.
We got the same thing. I went to Ancestry's DNA. I got a free kid at San Diego reparations meeting. A brother just handed it to me. He had one, and he gave it to me in the audience. I did it, man, and it'll blow you away. I got 51% of African descendants in my blood, but I already knew that my people from New Orleans, but it broke it down. It went way back, way back.
Oh,
these Mormons know what they're doing. But, however, we still have to understand that. I'm going to still double back and check it with the free one as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
Got it.
We have access to that with CJEC. CJEC is popping up. I don't know if you know about the site, CJECOfficial.org. And
I wrote it down.
When you go on their site, they're going to give different things that Chris is doing, and it'll pop up right next to you. I don't know where you're from, but it will pop up, and they have their computers out and everything that everybody can get situated with. But, however, like I said too earlier, 2021 was the year that the Governor Newsom did make it official. You would have to be there 6 months before that he made it official as far as started the reparation task force. I yield back. My mic.
All right. Gotcha. All right. And as far as the distribution of the information, I think everything was great. Are you going to, like, divide the areas up? Like, say, even in Sacramento, that's where I live. I mean, you're talking about beauty shops, different things. You're going to have to set up, you know, certain regions, certain areas. Another area you're going to have to start looking at is our churches, because that's where you're going to have your – That's where you're going to have some issues.
Absolutely.
We need to get that grassroots going, too. You know, that's a big influence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested, and I'll follow because I believe it. I just think it's unfair. I pledged my allegiance to the flag all my life. I was made to say that. Then I had incidents where I found out, wait a minute. All that stuff wasn't even applying to me.
That part.
And they made a believer out of me. And I can't turn back now. Now, I had to get through the anger and all that other stuff. It's okay. I'm through all that anger. I'm through all that. And my brother said, I'm insulted now. So now we got to do something. Now y'all got to pay. You got to pay.
That part.
And I'm
done.
Time
is up.
Okay. All right. All right. What I hear it not only warms my heart, but puts fire in my eyes because I hear an issue that we are galvanizing around. We have many, many others, but yet we're galvanizing around this one now. My second thought and comment is simply this. The finite, as the sister just asked, about the churches and also about more female participation, where would we be able to address ourselves so that we could go to these various other spots, male, female, instead of, as what's been said, three men is a good idea. But if you have a cross concept working together on the same issue, you have a much better chance of success on that issue. So where can we go to talk with a few women that would be able to join us, that would be interested in educating on this issue of reparations? Anybody have an idea?
I was thinking about the church immediately. It's not an omission. It's just, that's not a hot button for me as a rule. yet it seems to me to be one of the avenues that it would be equally as strategic to pursue. And, you know, quite frankly, if you want to find where the women are, go to church. Because most churches have women as a majority.
But, you know, the thing about that is we will reach them when we go to the barbershops and beauty shops. They all attend those places frequently.
Right, because some don't go to church. Yeah, they at the shops, the hair shops, on the shelf.
Yeah.
Right.
But church is still there too. A lot of pastors don't know. They, you know, they're ignorant of the matter. So they be a lot out here welcome you in.
Because
and just like I met Chris here in Riverside. He go everywhere. He go to churches, wherever. You know what I mean? So, but my thing is that this too. You guys gotta understand. This is perfect timing because election. This election year. What he was talking about that 490. That 490 is going to be able to so that we can make sure that assembly bill will be put on the registration poll. As far as voting, you know what I'm saying? So this is a prime time to do it, and we got to get this ball rolling, like, fast. I yield back.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Ball rolling fast. Right. Yeah. Because we ballers anyway. Basketball, football, any kind of ball, we masters of rolling these balls, Jack. So let's get this one rolling as well. I agree. So any more comments to pour in about how we're going to address this issue? What we have right now outstanding is Saturday we're going to have a group of men going up to an area in Sacramento where the youth congregate and create havoc after regular business hours from 5 o'clock on, and they come up there and they do their thing, and we're going to go up there and do our thing. Yet when that group of men are together, we're going to pool. And I guess in between now and then, we're going to be doing calls, at least I am, calling around to see who's willing to be a part of a team to do presentations. And then I'm going to write up a general script of what information probably should be shared and be able to field questions, not all questions, but the general questions about it, so that we can be knowledgeable as well as representative of this thing. So anybody have anything else about this matter that you think we need to have to the floor?
I think this is a good start, and, you know, I don't want to go off course, but I just got to say this. What we are doing is something that should have been done a long time ago, and not by us, but it should have been implicated by the NAACP, affirmative action, those groups. Because I just want to know, what are they really doing for us? I'm just had to ask that.
Well, you remember, NAACP is ran by Jews. That's not a black organization. When they get the money, we the last people to see it. They're giving it to every race but us. You got to understand, there is a time that we got to stop looking back and see that what they did, we got to pick up the torch, and we got to roll with this.
I just thought I'd bring that out there, you know, because that's something that has always, it didn't puzzle me, it just pissed me off.
Right, right. So, see, listen, remember we discussed about the trip out to Delta Shores. It's important for us to have a general theme and be able to respond to the general questions. Like if somebody asks, well, the kids say, well, what y'all doing up here? What are y'all representing? And we not only define what we represent as our organization, but we might even add that we're doing some other people who are voted in or paid have not been doing. And
right.
We don't have to get particular. We'll just generalize that because, see, once we stimulate their inadequacies, I think they'll take some kind of action, right? I hope that they don't take a undermining action trying to kick dirt on us and take a proactive position and try to step up to what they haven't been doing because we're doing it for them, right?
Yeah, right.
So our demonstration points out what they're not doing. And then we might even mention it casually, not pointing fingers like that. We're doing what the NAACP or the ACLU. No, don't do it like that, but just say, well, we're doing what people that were elected and were paid have yet to do.
Right.
Okay.
We're doing it now.
We're protecting our youth. We're here to protect our youth.
And that's part of the presentation. We're here to represent a direction that we hope that you'll go, because what you're doing now is you're flirting with jail, you're flirting with personal injury, you're setting principles in motion that will not, because we live in a principally sound, you know, what you put out, what you get back kind of universe, right?
Correct.
You don't keep on vandalizing and criminalizing other people's stuff, and nothing's going to happen to you.
And so, you know, the main of our objective is we're concerned parents.
Marvell.
Yes.
To piggyback off what you're saying, one thing I wanted to say is that we have to, a good way of doing that to facilitate that concept is every group and every entity has played a role. There's a master plan in all of this. So we don't know what the master has decided who to use. And sometimes it's not people who we think and the way that we think. But what you all have said, we have to go in focus with a point, what we're trying to accomplish. And when you stimulate those other people, when they come at you, find some good points to point out of what they've done and honor and respect them for what they've accomplished. This is a new day, a new wave, a new era. So now we have to be relevant and take off from now. And the best way to do that is to stay on point, to stay on focus.
No
matter what goes on around you.
I have to disagree with. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Please.
That's okay.
Me.
You have
the
right to disagree.
I agree with you. Sister Claire, I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
100%. And I'll be quiet, but man, it just struck me that I agree with her 100%. Stay on point. You start talking about other avenues of approach, you lose.
Absolutely.
My attention is diverted. Diverted to
Absolutely.
Whatever you're talking about now. That's why I ask. Let us sit down, put the nuts and bolts to this conversation so that we don't stray from what we're out there to do. And that is to help people realize, mark the bag, how to get their share of the bag. I mean,
that's how you do that.
Along the way, we can then begin to talk in those other terms. But
right now,
our issue is to communicate how do we get what our culture has earned. And
that's
all
we want. Agreed. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Right on. And then Clarice,
yes.
It is our hope that somewhere in the mid-grade, that we can look for your expertise in the formulation of the corporate part of our potential structure, right? We're looking at forming this body that is not, the way I understand it is, it exempts every person from liability, right?
Uh-huh.
But
mm-hmm.
it stands strongly together as an entity, right? And so
right.
one more thing, too. Now that we're talking about it, I said that I don't know much about it, but I know someone who does. Her name is Angela Barry Moore, and she is one of our renowned planners for LLCs, corporations, nonprofits, and she is quite adept at what she does. So
she knows compliance.
Say again?
She knows compliance, and that's what we have to do. Yes, she does.
Right.
I've spoken with her. She knows. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She is that go-to when we want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke too quickly. I don't know about it, but I know who knows.
Yeah.
So when we have that discussion again, and we get solid where we want to go forth, then I know someone here that we can confer with that'll give us the direction that we're desiring. So, one thing I want to let be known, and for those who are just coming in or those who have been consistent listeners, that when we get on here, we air out what our concerns are, yet when we get through airing them out, we start putting energy behind.
Right.
Solutions, and I'll be like Double R say, and resolution. We are about that. And I don't want it to be mistaken to think we're just a bunch of folks expressing anger and resentment and blowing off steam and using this as a way to vent our frustrations. No, that's not what we do here. So if you're paying attention, I want you to look closer and see that we are actually taking positive, affirmative actions to bring about some sort of remedy to the concerns that exist with our people in this country and our communities specifically. So I want to thank you all very much for continuing to pour into this thing, and I want to thank you listeners for continuing to keep your minds open to what it is that you can do, because sooner or later, you're going to find your fit, and you're going to pour in, or you might already be doing it, and you might just be keeping yourself anonymous. But yet, we trust that eventually the message is going to be clear. This is a we thing, and I ain't talking about French. I guess in French it means yes too, right? When you say we in French, that means yes. So I guess it is. Yes, we. Yes, we going to get this done. Yes. We, monsieur. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this done, y'all.
Brother Cut, let me say this in closing. Many times we worry about the number of individuals that are with us on the other side that are against. There are thousands that are against us, but we worry about how many soldiers there are, how many that are willing to step out. What did the Bible say? If you can find one, I'll step in and do what I need to do. And everybody in this line knows who said that and when in the Bible. So let us not worry about who is not here. This is a core of individuals that can actually function. And let's function. Let's do it. Let's go forward.
Foundation.
Thank you.
We're a foundation.
I'd rather take 10 strong ones than 100 weak ones. You feel me? Many is called. But
yeah, no
listen.
Doubt. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the foundation. We are a foundation.
Can I make a last statement, Marvell?
Yes, we got about 30 seconds.
I'll do less. Thank you for recognizing women, because we have always been allowed in the big house. What we need to do as women is to give it back to our men, give them that knowledge and information so that they can lead. God never ordained us to lead, and we've been bamboozled to think that we can do all this, and we can't. So I'm so proud that men are stepping up, and I'm through.
Ooh,
that's a real one right there. Salute, my sister. Salute.
And I approve of that message.
Ashe.